Good morning.
Morning.
Well, thank you for the two that responded. Good morning, you all.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you? Right. It's cool. I've been enjoying going through the Upper Room Discourse. I haven't got very far yet, and I'm working on a commentary for the Pio Poco leaders and the Gospel of John. And I wanted to do the Upper Room Discourse first. And it's really been interesting. I've really been blessed by the things that the Lord Jesus has shared to the disciples during that time. It's a real special time. And it really helped me to see that the Upper Room Discourse is really dealing with family. Jesus's perception of the disciples as being part of the family of God is really obvious, starting from chapter 13 and going through chapter 17. As you read through the things that he shared with the disciples and the topics he talks about, it just really gives you a feeling of home, a feeling of family. And it's a real blessing time, a real time of blessing. And you know, the John chapter 1 through chapter 12, Jesus had a public ministry, and the Apostle John talked about that quite a bit, you know. But in chapter 13 through 17, you have a change from public ministry to personal ministry with the disciples. And it was geared for God's people, not the unsaved. And the topics that the Lord Jesus brought forth during that time with the disciples is really interesting. And I want to share with some of that stuff with you guys today too. We'll see how God thinks, and he not only telling the disciples about who they are and how he views them, but also it's for us as well, okay? And I think you'll find it a real blessing. I've been blessed by studying this, looking at this a little bit more in depth. And so I want to do that this morning. I'm also going to need to require your help. But do we have some volunteers that will be able to help with this? Reading scripture? Okay, I see some kids back there. That's cool. How about you older folks? Are you guys afraid to read scriptures? Do we have some volunteers? Because I'm going to be calling on you. Okay. Oh, we got Bob. We got Fred. Any other victims? Okay. We got Bertha here. Okay. Real good. Oh, Tom. All right. Good. Because we got a lot of scriptures to read. And so let's go ahead and get started. Let's pray first. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you so much for the topic that you have written, caused to be written through the Apostle John in chapter 13 and 14, all through the Upper Room Discourse, and how we are so pleased to be counted into the family of God through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can commit our time to you, and thank you for teaching our hearts today about yourself, about our Lord Jesus, and about how you view us as well, Lord. Thank you for all the good things that you've done for us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So we're going to talk about the anchors of assurance on the Sea of Life. Now, we're on the Sea of Life, okay? As a sea, you can expect a lot of waves, some bad weather. If you've ever been in some high waves, you can feel like the water comes into the boat and you're a bit scary. We had a situation on the Guaviare River with my family, and a big storm came up, and it was just a river, okay? But there was big waves, and we were in a dugout canoe. And we had to pull over to the side to the sandbar because the waves were really coming into the boat. And then we had just little kids, and I was driving the boat, and so we didn't have anybody to be able to bail the boat because the water was coming in, so we hit it over. And it gets scary, the high winds like that. And it's even worse on the sea. Have you guys been in the Navy? Do we have some Navy veterans? Yes. What about that? You've been in rough weather in the Navy?
Yeah.
60-foot
seas.
60-foot only, huh? Okay. Well, it gets scary. It gets scary. And life is like that with us. We have a lot of things happen in life, and as you well know, a lot of things are tough to go through. And we're going to find out here about some of the tough things that the disciples had to go through during this time. Talking to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus sharing with them some things ahead of time. And so let's look at that, some of these things. First of all, we're going to do a background on what the situation was. And we're going to look at John chapter 14 specifically. But in John chapter 13, there are some assurances, some situations that have caused the type of response that the Lord Jesus had in chapter 14. So I want us to look at this. Could we have a volunteer read this passage? Only one. Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go back and talk a little bit about the situation, okay? Help us to understand what the disciples were going through in a small way when Jesus was telling them these things. First off, you see little children. Little children. The Lord Jesus is talking here, and he's talking to the disciples. They sure were not little children. Literally, they were not. But the Lord uses the phrase or the word in Greek, little children. But what do you think he's thinking of? What does it bring to mind if the Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples and calls them little children? What do you think? Any comments?
He has to clearly explain.
Huh?
He has to clearly explain.
Okay. All right. Good. Any other?
Affection.
Affection. How is that translated into English? Affection. In other words,
compassion.
Love.
Huh?
He loves them.
That he loves them, right? And it's true, it's affection too. That he loves them. And there's another little tone in this concept of little children. So what is else that it would be besides love?
They're very young and understanding.
Okay, yes.
Need teaching.
Huh?
Need teaching.
Need teaching? All right, what else?
Discipline.
Okay.
Care.
Care?
He's very much a father to me, almost.
Okay, well, I think you're getting close to that. I don't think Jesus is the father to them. I think the Father, our Heavenly Father, is what he's trying to bring into mind here. Okay, and I believe from seeing other verses, and I'm sure you'll see this too, the Lord Jesus is really dealing with his family in love, divine love, God's family. And you get the family feel as you read through this. At least I do. Feels love. And of course, in chapter 13, in the beginning of it, we had the foot washing that Jesus did. And he's showing love for one another, okay? And it's more than just love for someone who's not connected in the family. But it's love in a family format. Love of family. Do you guys, when you have your family gather together, like on Christmas or Thanksgiving, how do you feel about that? Isn't it good? It's good to have family together. Especially when you have good relationships with family. You know, and sometimes you don't have that. Or a lot of times when we do, you don't have it. But in God's family, that's pretty much a cool deal. Because the Lord has drawn people, drawn us all together. And you all come from many, many different families. But in God's family, we're the same. We're in the same family. Are you not? Do you get that feel? They were talking about bringing some other family members into the family here in February, too, right? Well, we probably don't get that feel of a close family. One day, it will happen. One day, it will happen, folks. And so, he uses the word, the phrase, little children, I believe, to set the tone of family, in God's family, you know. And he says this kind of stuff that's causing disturbance in the disciples. He says, where I am going, you cannot come. Now, these guys have been with him for 3 years, right? Just about 3 years. And they have eaten with him. They have followed him. They had seen all kinds of miracles and wonderful things that happened. They saw a lot of the opposition standing against Jesus, you know. And they have lived life with the Lord Jesus. And now Jesus is telling them, I'm going away. I'm where I am going. You can't come. How would that make you feel? You think it would cause some disturbance here. Because they had grown attached to the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus is really letting them know ahead of time things that are going to happen. And he's really thinking about them, showing them that he loves them. And he wants them to understand that. And he's saying, where I'm going, you cannot come. A lot of times, you know, we studied Revelation here with Charlie, and the things that were that he wants to do ahead of us. You know, it's really interesting to know that. Help us to be prepared. Isn't that right, Charlie?
Yes.
Yes. So I appreciate that. Appreciate that, knowing it. And the Lord Jesus has given it to us through the Word of God. We know. We don't know everything, but we know more or less a lot of things that are going to happen ahead of us. And here he's telling the disciples, I'm going to go away, but you can't come. But what are they going to think? Oh. And we'll find out. And then look at verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Wow. A change of subject, huh? The Lord has done that many times. And it's been interesting how he does that. But it's connected. He's talking about family. All right. He starts off with little children, talking about a family term. And he thinks of them as part of the family. And then he talks about the love. What is the glue that holds a family together? It's love. Not so much blood, but love. And then, if someone would like to read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, I would appreciate that. We'll find out about what the commandment says about love. Leviticus 19, verse 18.
Leviticus 19 and verse 18 says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay. So, to love your neighbor as yourself. What does Jesus say in verse 34 of John 13:44? You see any difference there? Look at John 13:34, and then compare that with Leviticus 19:18. What do you see? Is this any different there? The commandment to love. Yeah, but what is it?
The standard. Who's modeling the love? In one case, Jesus is modeling the love. In the other case, it's, you know...
Each person is modeling love.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the difference between Jesus modeling love and people modeling love? What's the difference?
He's perfect. I'm fallible.
He loves... Jesus loves with divine love. We people, do we love others with divine love? Like, you know, the people that are unsaved? No. He says, love your neighbor just as you love yourself. And Jesus is saying, a new commandment is to love each other as I have loved you. What a big difference, folks. Big difference here. And the Lord is telling that to his disciples and to us as believers. So the idea, the previous commandment is to love others as we love ourselves. That has been superseded by the new or refreshed commandment to love others as Jesus has loved us. What an example, okay? So you see that it's the family thing going on here, relationships based upon divine love that God gives us. Okay. And then it seems like Peter, to me, I don't know, maybe I've missed the boat on here, but it seems like Peter was so occupied with what the Lord said about where I'm going, you cannot come, that he didn't even hear about the love deal. Because what does he come back in verse 36? He says, Lord, where are you going? He was stuck on that. So verse 34 and 35, it seems like it passed over his head. Maybe the other guys did too. It passed over their head about the love as Jesus loved others, love each other as Jesus loved them. And so Peter is saying, where are you going? Because he wants to follow him, no? And then Jesus answered and said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Interesting. The Lord's given him a little bit of previous knowledge of what's going to happen. You will follow me afterward. And so what do you think the Lord is talking about here? Where is he going? Back to the Father? That's right. And so... He's going. If he goes back to the Father, are the disciples going to follow him there? No. But afterwards, yes. And so you see what's happened here. And so Peter says, Lord, in verse 37, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. See how wonderful I am? Okay. Maybe I'm assuming too much that Peter's out. Motivation here, but he stated it. I will lay down my life for you. And how did Jesus respond? Will you lay down your life for me? Question? Rhetorical question? And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Now, that's the second thing that's causing trouble for the disciples here, especially for Peter. He can't go where the Lord's going to go. The Lord's going away, and so he's also saying that you'll deny me three times. After Peter has said, I'll lay down my life for you. Do you think this is going to cause a little bit of trouble here in the disciples' heart? I think so. And so you have the situation from 13. And so we ask, what was the situation in 13? What was causing them trouble? Jesus said in 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, there you go. He's recognizing that disturbance in their heart. what were the things, the two things that was disturbing the disciples at that time? Anybody got a comment?
He was going where they couldn't come.
Right. What else?
Peter was going to deny.
Peter was going to deny the Lord Jesus. And you have to keep in mind that Judas Iscariot has already left the disciples and Jesus. And now it's just Jesus with 11 disciples here. And they're disturbed by what Jesus has told them. And so in the original writing of the Gospel of John by the Apostle John, there's no chapter divisions and there's no verse numbers, okay? So it just kind of goes together here. And so what we're trying to do is mesh the situation with the new situation in chapter 14 so you can understand it. So what does he say here? Somebody give me a volunteer for this verse. It's a long one. Could I have a volunteer to read this verse, chapter 14, verse 1?
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
Okay. Good. Thank you. So, why were their hearts troubled again? He's going to leave them. What else? Reviewing what we just said twice. They couldn't follow him. What else? What else is troubling their hearts, guys?
Peter's going to deny.
Peter was going to deny him, not once, not twice, but three times. That, boy, would be a bad deal. I'm sure it really bothered Peter quite a bit. Okay, what is the Lord doing here? And this is what's going to be, we're going to look ahead and see a little bit. What is the Lord Jesus doing here? And I believe he's talking about these things ahead of in chapter 14 that are going to bring some assurance to these guys that are going through some heavy waters, okay? And we know that when this was the last few hours, a number of hours before he went to the cross and he died and he was buried in a tomb and he rose again the third day, and then sometime later he ascended to the Father in the presence of the 11 disciples. And so there's the Lord Jesus saw that there was going to be a big need for assurance and confidence on the part of his disciples. And so in this chapter 14, he's mentioning six things, six assurances to encourage them. And these assurances are, to me, like anchors that provide a confidence and a security for our life in this world. Especially as pilgrims in this world. Do you guys think you're pilgrims? Or I'm sure you don't think you're aliens, do you? How about foreigners? Are you foreigners in the United States? Sojourners, maybe? Yeah. And strangers. And so we are really connected to this world, aren't we? We really are connected. And I believe the Lord Jesus really wants us to be aware that from his point of view, we are not connected to this world. You get that? From God's point of view, we are not connected to this world at all. We're living in this world and we're passing through this world, but we're from a different country. We're from a different land. We talked about the promised land here. We sang about that. Are we from a different land, a different country, a different city? Yes, we are. And Jesus is really wanting to get them, make them aware of that. They're not part of this world as the people of the world are, but we're different people. And God has made us different. And the whole thing that we have from Scripture, we see that, you know, even the Apostle John, in 1 John, talks about, you're not a part of the world. Don't be a part of the world. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world, because all that is temporary. And so what these assurances that Jesus has mentioned in chapter 14 are things that would help us to feel secure and confident as we go through life. And they're very important things, okay? The first one is found in John 14, verse 2 and 3. Someone like to read that, please?
In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be.
Thank you. Very interesting here. The Lord Jesus has given them an assurance of heaven. And I remember in Bible school, I used to sing, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where grow old. Okay, what about that mansion, Ken? You got a mansion over the hilltop?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
No,
I don't. Charlie, do you think Ken has a mansion over the hilltop?
Over a natural hilltop?
I guess that's what the song said.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. How about a mansion? Do you think Ken has a mansion over there?
No,
I don't think so. The word that was translated mansion from the Tyndale version was gone into King James and the Reina Valera in Spanish. But the word does not mean mansion. It means dwelling place or abode. And in this translation, it says many rooms. And so the idea here, Jesus is not talking about the grandeur of heaven, is he? That this is wonderful. He's not talking about that. Revelation talks about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. Revelation, is it 21 and 22?
Yeah.
There you go. He mentions this, all the details about the New Jerusalem, our abode forever. But here in chapter 14, Jesus is not referring to the grandeur and the magnificence and the gold and the pearl and all this kind of stuff. But what does he focus upon?
Togetherness.
He's talking about a home. He's talking about home. He's talking about abiding place for all of us. And he says, in my Father's house. Okay, we got Father's house here. That's home for us, folks. Our Father's house. And he's talking about many rooms. In other words, you all will fit. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I used to think that the Lord Jesus, being a carpenter, you know, that he's going to go build something. He's going to heaven, and 2,000 years ago, he's going to build a really fancy place up for us, you know. Reading some of the commentaries, they kind of poo-pooed that idea. You know, I was thinking, prepare a place for you? No. They feel that he was talking about going to the cross and being buried and resurrected and ascended into heaven. That's the preparation that they feel that Jesus will refer to here. Not to build for 2,000 years a place out of wood, right? No. Well, it doesn't look like the New Jerusalem is going to have a whole lot of wood in it, you know. I don't know. Maybe it does. But he's really talking about home here. He's talking about the quality of being home with our Heavenly Father. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Do you get that idea? That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. That gives an assurance of heaven, that we belong to heaven. And he says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And I'm wondering how that fit with the people that didn't believe in the rapture, you know. The Lord Jesus says, I'm going to come again and take you to myself. He's not coming to here for the believers to live here for the believers, but he's going to take the believers to himself, that where Jesus says the believers may be also. And where is Jesus right now? Yes. He's at home with his Father. And that's where he's going to take us. Really cool. Cool stuff there. Here, it says here in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, I'll read this. It says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Wow. "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Beyond all comparison. In other words, we don't have the categories to compare with what heaven's going to be like, what home is going to be like. We're kind of involved in this, what Jesus says is the light momentary affliction. Well, it might seem not light and momentary for us, you know, we have to live through a lot of sickness and old age. But in the light of eternity, it is. It is light and it is momentary. And then soon we will be with the Lord. I know you all are waiting for that too. Another assurance is found in John 14, verse 7. Okay. It's the assurance of knowing the Heavenly Father. Now this is a big deal here too. What does it say there? Someone like to read that verse? Verse 7?
"You have known me, you have known my Father also. And now you do know him and have seen him."
All right, Jesus is making some statements here that are pretty strong. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." What is he saying here?
"You see me, you see my Father."
You see me, you see my Father. And he said that many times. Many times, though. Referring to the character of the Lord Jesus and the character of the Father. And one of the things that he brings out here that is really clear in this passage of John 14 is the fact that Jesus loves the disciples. And they need to know the Father. He also loves them too. Wow. It's awesome. Okay. It says here in John 17, ahead, where Jesus was praying to his Father, he says, excuse me, "And this is eternal life, that they know you." You're referring to the disciples and the believers. "That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." And the Lord Jesus is saying here, "I have made known to them your name, Father." Now, I know back in those days, the name of the Lord, the name of God was important, more important to them as to us. It's hard for me to relate that, you know, to that. But Jesus is saying, "I will make known to them your name." It means the significance of who you are and how you are. And he says, "I will continue to make it known." Wow. So he's doing that today, isn't he? We're learning about the Father and how the Father thinks and how he loves, how he cares for us too, like the Lord Jesus. And he said, the Lord says, "That the love with which you have loved me, Father, may be in them and I in them." And so, the love of the Father is in you all. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Jesus resides in you all too, through the Holy Spirit. He talked about that in chapter 14 and 16, about the Holy Spirit coming to dwell with us forever. That is awesome statements there. So So they have the assurance of knowing the Father. The Lord Jesus also gave them assurance in verse 21 and 23 of the Father's love. All right. You guys feel loved by God the Father? That's good. That's what we all need to do that. But you know what? When we get to be with the Lord in heaven, I think we'll really feel the love of the Father beyond all comparison. You know? And we won't have the limitations of human sin and human thinking to keep us from knowing the love of the Father. You know, and I believe, as some other guys have shared too, that heaven is not going to be a static thing, you know. We know a little bit about the Lord. We know a little bit about Lord Jesus. But I think we're going to learn a lot more as we go on through eternity. Learn more and more. And become more compassionate, more understanding with each other as well as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and of our Father in heaven. We'll be there with Him. We'll be home. And this is an important thing here. So, the Father's love. The Lord Jesus talks about that quite a bit in the Gospel of John. Would someone like to read verse 21 and 23, please? We got a volunteer?
When Jesus had said these things,
he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Yes. Look at that last phrase, and we will make our home with him. And we, Jesus referring to the Father, Heavenly Father, and himself, and we will make our home with you. How about that? What do you think about that, Fred? That our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus is at home with you. Wow. So you see the family connection here, folks? He's referring to home. Home is for family. And he's talking about love. The Father, those who love me, the one who loves me will keep my word. And will be obedient to the word of God. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. That is quite a statement, folks, that you start thinking about that. That God the Father and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, will come together and make their home with you. Well, maybe you think, what did I deserve? No. I don't deserve anything for this. But he's saying, I love you, and I will make my home with you. Tremendous things. Does that give you assurance? Wow. Thank you, Lord. I was thinking about that. I never thought that before. I haven't read that. Hadn't understood that part of the verse. That the Lord and the Father would make our home, their home with me. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's how he is. That's how our Father is. He loves us. And Jesus said in John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. There you go. Very good. The Father loves you. And he also said this in 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Really, we are children of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. We know the Father. The Father knows us. The Father loves us. And the Son loves us. And he wants us to keep his word. He wants us to realize that he and the Father have will make their home with you. Can you imagine that? Wow. And you don't even have to clean a house for it. They move right in through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something, folks? God's presence with you all, that you know Jesus as your Savior. That is awesome. You're part of the family of God. And the Lord wants you to realize that. You're not just a bunch of individuals that are floating around here trying to do religious stuff here, but you're connected to family. You are loved by our Heavenly Father. You are loved by our Lord Jesus, and they make their home with you. That gives great assurance, okay? That gives great confidence, not in ourselves, but in the fact that this is true statements. And believe it, it is true. One day we'll be seeing that physically, with our eyes and stuff like that, and experiencing that unsurpassing fellowship with the Lord. Something that we can't compare with anything here on earth. It'll be beyond comparison. Assurance of prayer was another thing that he talked about, and Jesus talked about in John 14:13-14. The assurance of prayer. Now, I know that prayer kind of, in my mind's eye, is kind of associated with a religious term. You know, I like to put in here communication, because in a family, you have communication, don't you? You share back and forth. You know, we have our daughters and sons come over who live in this area, and we just have a good time talking about things of the Lord, talking about other things, talking about problems, talking about plants, talking about food, and all kinds of stuff that family talks about and pray communication with the Lord. And so prayer to me is communication with the Lord. Would someone like to read verse 13 and 14, please?
Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, I got a question. What is the unstated condition for granting a request? Remember, it's unstated here. What is that condition? Okay, that's stated, isn't it? What is unstated? What is Jesus assuming here?
Part of the family.
Part of the family. And what else is part of the family?
Communications.
Communication.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Communion. Right, very good. And so that's what he's assuming. As part of the family, we're going to have that. And so, as part of the family, well, you ask anything in my name and I will do it. There you go. That's quite a statement, folks. You know, you think we're kind of walk around like paupers here? Like folks who are digging garbage out of a dumpster or something like that? Do we do that? Do we act like that at times? I think we do. I think we do. I don't know about you, but I kind of do that. Boy, this really is a strong statement there, you know. Communication with the Lord. John 16 and verse 23 and 24 says, Jesus is saying, in that day you will ask of nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Wow. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You know, there's some things that are really particular to the Lord in Philip, and he talked a lot about that, and one of them is joy. Full joy. And he's associating with by asking and receiving, and we receiving joy as a result. And not just a, oh yeah, but full joy. Full joy. And I believe, folks, that full joy is deep from the heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure you guys have had requests granted by the Lord that has brought you great joy in your heart. And you've seen Him work on your behalf or on your family's behalf and other things. And this is what the benefit of being in the family of God. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to receive joy because He loves us. The Father loves you. The Lord Jesus loves you. And He's coming to make, He come to make His home with you. He feels at home with you, folks. And a lot of times we don't feel too much at home with Him, do we? Especially when we're out of sorts and stuff like that. But He wants us to come back and realize that, yeah, He is at home with us. The Father is. And the Son is, our Lord. And He wants us to feel at home with them, with Him. Think about those things, folks. The assurance of the Holy Spirit is a very important part of this assurance. John 14, 16 through 17. Could we have someone read those two, please?
"And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you, and will be in you."
There you go. Now, I don't think there's any doubt that we have the Holy Spirit, right? You guys have the Holy Spirit? Yeah. You know Him, and He says, as a Spirit, you know Him. Didn't say you know it. You know, a lot of the tree huggers, they like the, it's an impersonal force that they want to grab a hold. In Columbia, I saw a bunch of these guys, well-dressed people with suits on and ties and stuff, go to the park. And literally, they did. I saw that. And just hugging the juice, the spirit out of that tree, thinking that that's going to give them success or whatever, you know. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us forever. He says here, the Helper will be with you for how long? Forever. That means He never leaves you. For He dwells with you and will be in you forever. Wow, that's really something. That gives us assurance that we belong to the Lord. We're part of His family. You know what great lengths the Lord has gone to make us feel part of a family, the family of God. You know, and these assurances kind of highlight those aspects of the Lord making us feel at home, to make us feel part of His family. Another verse that talks about that is in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. It says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Now, we all know about the guarantee. You know, the guarantee is a really cool deal. I think it deals with inheritance. He says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, "In Him," the Apostle Paul says, "also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him," Christ, "were sealed with a promise, Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." So there's an inheritance that the Holy Spirit is affirming for you in the family of God. And in being in the family of God, you know, it's really cool that the Father and the Son make their home with you. They feel at home with you. We're not home yet, are we? Are you sojourners? Are you strangers? Are you foreigners? Are you pilgrims? Yes. Nobody's aliens, right? Okay. And then the sixth assurance is found in John 14, verse 27. And that is peace. God's peace in this world. Now, peace is a really important part of being in God's family. Very important part. So Somebody like to read this verse, please?
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Wow. He mostly talks about peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So it's not just leaving it here, but he's giving it to us. How much do we rely on the peace of God for making decisions, folks? I'm sure you have. What do you think about that? Does that give you assurance? Huh? I remember when I was a newbie in the first week of orientation at New Tribes Bible Institute in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I was thrilled to be there. And on the third day, I probably mentioned this to some of the folks. On the third evening, we had the first week is orientation. Y'all remember that? Some of you NTBI students, you remember that? You don't remember that, Bob? Barb? You don't remember it? I remember it quite well. And this is why. On the third night, Dwayne Stouse, the missionary from Paraguay, was showing slides on the Indian work, the mortals in Paraguay. And it was that night that the Lord bothered me quite a bit with what I saw in those pictures. I'd never seen anything like that in all my life. Indians, poor, have nothing. But yet they kill people. And I'd seen a lot of Westerns when I was growing up. You know, sure, Indians always fight and they kill. But it never occurred to me in the Lord's realm, you know, in the realm of the gospel, that there was people like that. I found out that there are. But yet, I was so disturbed, troubled in my heart by what I saw. That night, after the slides were over, I went up to my third floor room. I shared with five other guys. I lay down on my bunk in the darkness and I talked to the Lord. I said, I am disturbed by this, what I saw. It's incredible that there's people still like this in the world that have no idea who Jesus is. I didn't realize that. I had never realized that. And I was really disturbed by it. My heart was just troubled inside, and I just said, Lord, you got to send people there to these Indian folks and give them the gospel. Let them have a chance to hear. And I prayed that way, prayed that for I don't know how long. And the Lord kind of responded back to me in a little small voice, says, well, there's nobody wanting to go. And I could see that. There's not too many people standing in line wanting to be a tribal missionary, you know. And that bothered me even more. And so finally I said, Lord, if you want, I'll go. And when I admitted to the Lord that I would go, guess what happened? The troubling heart.
Peace.
Instantly. Just like that. I couldn't explain it. I just felt it. I experienced that peace of God that only God can give. And He speaks to us. And it really... That was an anchor of assurance for me. And it carried me through 50 years of being in Colombia working with the Pio Pocos. Three times when I wanted to quit and go back to the States over problems. Problems with people. But the Lord would not let me go. And I remember the peace that suddenly flooded my heart when I said, Lord, I'll go if you want. He made it clear to me. And it was indelible in my heart, in my mind. So the peace of God is really awesome. The peace that God gives. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Wow. This is awesome verses, man. Awesome verses. Philippians 4:7. You guys know about this one. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's very true. It was true in my case. I know that's very true. And how it has guarded my heart and my mind when I wanted to quit. And the Lord says, well, remember? Remember that time when you were troubled? Remember the peace that I gave you when you said, I'll go? Yeah, that gives me assurance that what the Lord worked in my heart, that he was making it clear to me. And you guys have this very similar things probably many times. I would imagine. The peace of God that floods your heart when you know that this is the right decision. The Lord is awesome. So, Jesus talked about six assurances for the disciples going through hard times, troubled times. He gave them an assurance of heaven. We have a certainty of going to heaven because of Jesus, because I trust in Jesus. We have a certainty of knowing the Heavenly Father. It's just not just to get to heaven and get on your little cloud and play your little harp and with your little wings moving back and forth and go into eternity playing like this. You thought about how boring that would be? Man. No, it's going to be a different deal. And part of the assurance that Jesus had given him is knowing the Heavenly Father. And I don't believe that we're going to be static in heaven. We're going to be continually knowing the Heavenly Father. Because Jesus said, I will continually reveal the Father to you. There you go. Another assurance is of the Father's love. He loves you guys. He loves you deeply. And it's great to feel hugged by the Lord. Be comforted by him and our Lord Jesus too. Very important assurance for us. Assurance of communication as family with other family members and with our Father and with our Lord Jesus too. Very important. He has assurance that what we tell him, he hears. It's not taken for all. No, you're nobody. I'm not going to hear. No. What you say, while you ask the Lord, he hears you, okay? And if he agrees with what you're saying, ask him, he'll give it to you. But he will answer you. And as you're in fellowship with the Lord, he will give you what you ask for because you're thinking of other people like the Lord does. And you want the best for other people. And sometimes those answers are going to take a while because the Lord works in hearts of people, doesn't he? The assurance of the Holy Spirit that he dwells you forever. And he will teach you and he will direct your steps as you look to him. And then finally, the assurance of God's peace in the world, in this world. This world does not have peace. It has a different kind of peace. The peace in the world is without, it's an absence of turmoil, right? That's not what God's peace is about. The peace of God is having that relationship with the Lord and the Father and being part of the family of God. That he loves you and he makes his home with you. Isn't that something, Barb? He makes his home with us. These are assurances that the Lord Jesus has given to these loving disciples who are thinking about Jesus going away and thinking about Peter denying the Lord. Wow. Troubling stuff. And for us who have go through life a lot of troubles, these are assurances that we can really bank upon. They're certain. They're anchors for our seat of life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace to us, for the assurances that you've given us in the Word of God. Thank you so much, Lord, that you teach us, that you love us, that you make your home with us, and that you want us to feel at home with you too, Lord. I pray you would help with each one of us, Lord, to realize this more and more as you teach us, as you walk with us, and as we walk with you, that we know surely that these things are true and that we would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus too. Thank you for blessing each one of us here. Thank you for showing us that we are part of your family, that you make your home with us, Lord. Thank you so much. Help us to feel at home with you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Thanks for listening. Do you know that God loves you and wants you to have eternal life? He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and rise again from the dead. All you have to do is believe in Him, and you will be saved. Would you like to believe in Jesus right now and receive His gift of eternal life? It is simply a matter of placing your trust in what He did on the cross for you. If this is something you would like to know more about, please contact us or check out our website at sanfordbiblechurch.org.